I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It was a big night in New Hampshire, and there were some clear winners. John McCain took victory over Mitt Romney and Mike Huckabee early in the evening. For the Democrats, a fight to the finish with Senator Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama neck and neck until Clinton eked out a win by 3 percentage points. To talk about all this, we have not one, not two, but three top political strategists. First, we're joined by Karl Rove. He is, of course, former Deputy White House Chief of Staff for President George W. Bush. Mr. Rove, thank you so much for joining us today.
How are you?
I'm great. So who's the real comeback kid, or I guess since both of them have a few miles on them, comeback, I don't know, mature person? Is it Senator McCain or Senator Clinton?
Well, first of all, let's say one thing. We base this idea of comebacks, at least on the Democratic side, by looking at recent polls. And maybe we better not look at the recent polls. Maybe we got to start by, you know, not killing the lawyers, but killing the exit pollsters. Because the polls on this, it's very tough to poll a primary. And we've endowed these polls running up to the primaries with a false scientific precision they simply don't have. But did you know, after losing Iowa, Hillary Clinton wins New Hampshire, albeit by a small margin. She gets the bragging rights on that side. And look, John McCain, whose campaign was dead last summer, out of money, staff blown up, conventional wisdom that he was gone, clearly had a good night last night. Though he didn't enjoy the 18, 19-point margin that he had 8 years ago, he nonetheless did win by a pretty respectable 5 points.
So it was kind of a tie between the two of them for bragging rights.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I take your point about the polls, but the fact is the polls were right going into Iowa, and somehow or another they were wrong coming out of New Hampshire. I had an example, for example, almost a double-digit lead in the polls for Senator Obama and then a loss by three.
Yeah. And again, look, let's not have Obama suffer for the mistakes of the pollsters. If you talk to political pros, you would find that there is pretty solid agreement that it's really tough to poll a primary, and particularly a primary in a state like New Hampshire, where there are not just simply, you know, voters, but active, you know, players in the drama, and they know it. So, you know, Senator Obama suffered a little bit from the expectations built up for him by the media that having won Iowa, and then looking at these polls that he had double-digit leads in New Hampshire, that somehow or another it's his fault that he didn't live up to what the pollsters had predicted, when the pollsters really had, we ought to take these polls with a grain of salt.
I have to ask you this, though, because you're a person who has a reputation for not being afraid to, you know, answer the sticky questions. This is a normal pattern for an African-American candidate, you know, Tom Bradley in Los Angeles, Doug Wilder when he ran for governor of Virginia, leading up to the voting in the final day, ahead by five. He actually won by one half of 1 percentage point. Of course, there was a difference with Deval Patrick in Massachusetts where his lead to saying so, do you think?
With all due respect, I don't think the people in New Hampshire are racist.
Well, I think that's a big leap between saying that perhaps
the suggestion that the people in New Hampshire would be reluctant to vote for Barack Obama because he's African-American is false. In fact, I think to the degree that race plays a role in this, the Americans are looking for a way to break barriers. They would love to elect a woman president. They would love to elect an African-American president. And to the degree that either gender or race plays into this race, it plays far more in a positive direction than it does in a negative direction.
I'm sorry, I have to push back on the suggestion that because somebody takes race into account, that's by definition racist. I mean, could it be that you just think it speaks to electability in the end?
No. Look, there are a lot of Americans who are, you know, it's like Harold Ford, who, you know, consistently, you know, he ran ahead of the final polls. It's because a lot of people in Tennessee wanted to, you know, they were Republicans, but closet Ford supporters who wanted to send a message that Tennessee was a, you know, modern state that was capable of electing black or white. And I think, Iowa put the end to the view that it was going to be difficult for in a Democratic primary for an African American to win. And look, Obama's problem is not that he is, you know, he's an inspiring figure and a historic figure. That's not his problem. His problem is that he deals with the concerns that people have about Hillary Clinton, but he can't close the argument. Or at least he didn't in New Hampshire. He let the rhetoric soar, but it's sort of like a lot of people probably said, well, you know, where's the beef? And then she was aided by two very important moments, one in the debate and then one on Monday with an offhand question from from a woman, I believe, in Portsmouth. And both of these moments allowed her, you know, the debate moment where she was asked, you know, aren't you unpopular? Don't people dislike you? And she, you know, with authentic humor and warmth, she answered back and said, you know, that hurts my feelings and I'll try and press on. And, you know, that was a moment that allowed people to say, well, you know what, I do have my doubts about her, but there are some good things about her, and that made me feel good about her. And maybe I ought to pay more attention to the arguments that she's making.
Let's talk more about the Republicans for just a minute here. Does this win for McCain mean a more protracted battle for the nomination? Could we be going into Super Tuesday with three or even four potential frontrunners on the Republican side?
We could enter Super Tuesday with three or four credible candidates, yes. And in fact, look, last night's results mean that both parties are going to have contests that exist through at least February 5th.
So are you really going to sit this one out?
Absolutely.
How can you stand it?
I sat last night with my television, my laptop, and my cell phone, and was able to email and talk to friends in New Hampshire, and that's about as close as I wanted to get to it.
Okay. Well, I hope you can come back and spend some more time with us figuring it all out. Mr. Rove, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great.
Karl Rove is a Republican political strategist and former Deputy White House Chief of Staff for President George W. Bush.